Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The situation in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape is obviously a very, very serious one. We wanted to try and get a sense from SA Harvest to understand what on earth is going on there and how people are managing. Lindsay Hopkins, KZN Operations Manager at SA Harvest. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Hi there. Good morning. I'm okay. I've got a bit of a rough throat from all the dust and dirt and hot and cold conditions, but I'm fine otherwise.
The situation, obviously, in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape is a very, very serious one in terms of food supply. Many parts of these areas, in fact, were struggling even before the floods. What is the current situation?
Yeah, look, it is bad. Even before COVID, the stats in Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, we had 50% of our population living in informal settlements, which goes water and sanitation, responsible waste management, and obviously the guys with full-time and adequate living and working conditions. So that was before COVID. So during COVID and now afterwards, that stat must have really skyrocketed. And at the moment now we've got individual families and people, families and individuals without homes. They physically don't have anywhere to sleep at night. They've lost everything. So it is a dire situation, yes, unfortunately.
What is the solution? What is happening, and how does an organization like SA Harvest get involved?
Well, as you know, our initial way is the immediate food crisis, food waste stats, which is 10 million tons a year, and you've got your 20 million people plus going to bed hungry every night. So that's the initial thing. But we use that to then try and learn what's actually going on within the communities, get some trusting long-term relationships going so we can do that systemic intervention. And that is either trying to not move people, but move people back into more rural areas where their families are, and maybe look at agriculture and building up smaller infrastructure, like, you know, smaller spaces out of town, rather than everybody living in informal settlements squashed in the city centre. So we are trying to gather that intelligent data, and we are working with other organisations that are going to be building back infrastructure and trying to work out how to build smarter and build out rather than clogging people back up again. So that's one way. And then again, using agricultural practices to try and get the food insecurity into food security practices.
You and I have had the discussion many times. We speak about the fact that many of these issues, not just food scarcity, but actually more around logistics. I would imagine that as catastrophic as the situation is, it does present a opportunity to force focus and to force people as well as relevant authorities to try and assist to rectify some of these long-term problems so that we can address them in the future and can try and avoid these type of situations in the future from occurring.
Absolutely. And there are incredible opportunities, and there's ways to reduce your green miles, meaning you set up small agricultural practices around cities and towns and in the Eastern Cape. In fact, my CEO is driving to Lesikisiki right now because we're setting up in the Eastern Cape. At the moment, currently, if we get vegetables in the big retailers, the big name brands, if you're going to have a look at where those vegetables and fruit have come from, they've come from Johannesburg. They drive them down in the truck. So you're looking at all your carbon emissions, fuel, and all sorts of things. And obviously, I'd hate to know what price those farmers are getting. So to try and localize practices, especially in KZN and Eastern Cape, you can stick anything in the ground and it's going to grow. Because we've got incredible climate change, incredible rainfall. So we've really got to take the power back. And obviously, unfortunately, I'm not going to go into it, but with red tape and corruption, there is money out there, but it's getting into the wrong hands, as we know. And the people on the ground, us civil society, have got the best knowledge and expertise and trusting relationships with the communities in the ground. It is so simple, but unfortunately, the money's not going to the right areas. And there is perfect opportunity, and there is money, and it's not going to cost a lot, actually. It's just going to be done properly the first time.
What can people listening do? You know, we sit here and we hear about the situation. We read about how dire it is. We're concerned about where our funds are going in terms of corruption. Obviously, there's organizations that are trustworthy. But what are the alternatives? What are people sitting in Johannesburg able to do?
You know, I think that people are allowed to challenge the status quo and just don't fall in line and be, it's almost greenwashing. There's a greenwashing term in like plastic pollution space, and actually stand up and say something for, you know, stand up and speak up if you feel strongly about something, and make sure that you do your due diligence when retailers go and say, oh, we're responsibly disposing of our food, don't worry about it. Where does that food actually go? What does it actually mean? And I think people should take a step back and see if where they can redirect food waste, where they can help with reducing green miles, logistics capabilities, helping out local communities. We've really got to go back to where we used to be years ago and think about that spirit and take a more of a holistic approach. But everybody's got a responsibility to understand where the food is coming from and where it goes once they throw it away. And then people, I think, can have a more sound way of approaching this and come up with better solutions and suggestions.
Yeah.
They can contact us at saharvest.org, whether it's hands on the ground, food, funding, anything. We would really appreciate it.
So here's an organization that we know does a tremendous amount of good work. If you want to get involved, it doesn't only need to be money. It can be hands on the ground. It can be financial. It can be various ways that you're able to contribute. Go get hold of them. Get hold of SA Harvest and see how you can contribute. A listener asking what happened to the 15 million rand to Cuba. Wow. Well, we are following that story. Is that type of thing, when you read that in an organization such as yourselves, where you're struggling to assist people that need the very basic food, and you read articles about government giving 15 million rand for humanitarian aid to a place like Cuba, what do you think?
Look, it's very tricky, and we know that there's a long-term existing relationship there, and there's obviously goes far deeper than I'll ever know or appreciate. There's obviously big political ties. I'm not quite sure, but you're quite right. It is.
I'm not asking you to get involved.
But you're right. Unfortunately, that money could have been very well spent down here. I mean, in Eastern Cape, as you know, it's a dire situation there. And, you know, it's not that we don't have the climate and control. It's just the education around what's healthy and what's not, and what's nutritious and what's not. But to see that money diverted, yeah, you do have to ask yourself where it's gone and what's actually been done with it, unfortunately. So, and I don't think it was the right decision, although I do feel desperately sorry for our fellow neighbors in Cuba.
Absolutely, it is. And 8:29, I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Good morning.